from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast provider if you haven't done so already. Coming up on today's show, the Giants were off yesterday, so we did some Q&A, so I want to thank every single one of you who asked a question on Twitter. So a lot of people wanted to ask about the starting rotation for the Giants, with Sean Anderson injured, Connor Menez getting shuffled back and forth, and really struggling in his brief Major League career so far. Skullman asked about it. At Ringmaster 2015 asked about Connor Menez, is he too good for AAA and not good enough to be a major leaguer? Craig Robinson said, what is the team going to do to manage starting pitching until Cueto returns, which is a big if, he says. And Aaron, a self-admitted depressed Giants fan, asked, what should the Giants do with the starting rotation outside of Bumgarner and Samardzija? So it's a great question, and the Giants really are down to just a few starters here, with Bumgarner, Samardzija, and Tyler Beede the only ones who are really cemented in the rotation right now, and Tyler Beede has really struggled, so it's not like you feel great about those three. Bumgarner and Samardzija have definitely pitched well lately, and Samardzija has been a stabilizing force, which is, you know, thank goodness for that, because otherwise they would only have one stable starting pitcher right now in Bumgarner. But yeah, Sean Anderson is on the IL with the blister. From what I heard, they only expect him to miss the 10 days, and then they do expect him to come back. But let me know if I was missing something there. And then outside of that, yeah, I don't think they have a lot of options. I think they'll have to go to Derek Rodriguez if they need some innings. Andy Suarez is on the active roster and capable of starting. They could also do some more bullpen type of games, have openers, have someone like Andy Suarez just try to give you three or four innings to start a game, and piggyback him with someone like Derek Rodriguez potentially, or the relievers they already have on the team. Connor Menez will definitely be in the mix as well, just to kind of eat up those innings until Johnny Cueto returns, hopefully in September, early September, which seems to be the target date. And he has done nothing to show us that that's not going to happen, making two strong rehab appearances so far in the low, low levels for the Giants. So they're building him up. He's only pitching a couple of innings at a time now, but I do expect Cueto to be here within a matter of a couple weeks. So the Giants don't have to buy too much time before hopefully he's back. And then the other wild card ace in the hole here is Logan Webb, who was promoted to AAA Sacramento recently and then made his first appearance there yesterday. So I do think that he is in line to be called up and to take on some innings for the Giants down the stretch here. So in that game last night, he went 7 innings, allowed 7 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts, and just 1 earned run, no homers. And that is quite a feat in the Pacific Coast League. Just a really nice debut for Logan Webb there. This is the guy who was suspended earlier in the season for testing positive for a banned substance. But he was just having a tremendous year at AA and carried it over into his first AAA appearance as well. And the projections are really solid for him as well, and he looks to be a guy who's going to be able to limit home runs in this crazy high home run environment. He did it in the PCL last night. He's got, you know, on the season, a ground ball rate well north of 60%, and average in MLB is somewhere in the low 40s. So he gets a lot of ground balls and also capable of getting some strikeouts. I think he was probably a big part of their plans coming into the season as a guy who was going to debut and make an impact, but the suspension certainly didn't help his cause in that regard. So yeah, I just think it'll be a collection of the young guys just kind of filling in as needed and kind of shuffling through and optioning guys to clear a spot on the 25-man for the next guy. And then Raj Tadu says, do you see Birch Smith being used as a starter? He's been pretty good as a starter in the last 2 years in AAA, and when do you think Webb makes his debut? So Birch Smith, I just wanted to bring that question to the forefront here because the Giants just claimed him off waivers from the Brewers. DFAing Ryan Dull in a corresponding move. And Burt Smith was assigned to AAA Sacramento, and he's an interesting guy. Had a strong season in AAA with the Brewers, 15 starts, was striking out almost 10 guys per nine. A little bit of a command issue, but was able to keep the ball in the ballpark. Although in Milwaukee, he made 7 relief appearances and really struggled to limit home runs and with command. Walked over 15% of batters and allowed 3 home runs in just 12 2/3 innings. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do use him as a starter in AAA, because they need starting pitching and their bullpen is pretty deep. And so to try to develop him as a starter, which he's done a lot of in the minor leagues, would seem to make some sense. And he's a guy who could get a look as a starting pitcher at some point. So I don't know exactly how they'll use him, but I just wanted to use that question to point out that there's another guy in Burt Smith who could be a factor in the starting rotation here. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about some more questions. Question about Brandon Belt and his struggles on the season, and a question about expendable Giants minor leaguers as well, who could be used as trade pieces. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer and Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else, then you're just the same. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Follow Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. Okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, we'll continue to run through some of the questions you guys posed on Twitter. Eric Rodriguez says, I expected Belt to get more rest days, especially against lefties. I envision maybe 140 games and 550 plate appearances. That hasn't happened, and the grind seems to have taken its toll. Is it realistic to expect him to pick it up, and will he be moved in the offseason? So Brandon Belt, always a hot topic around the San Francisco Giants, and this has not been his best year. In fact, it's probably been his worst year as a major leaguer. He's hitting .229 but has a .345 on base, but the real issue is that the power has disappeared. He's only slugging .381, that's a .152 ISO, and it's just not really enough out of a guy who plays a corner infield position when defensively the defensive metrics are really down on Brandon Belt this season. I don't know if I buy into that, you know, watching him every day. I think that those metrics can be a little bit skewed in a short sample. And yes, I'm calling a whole season a short sample for defensive metrics. He's hurt by his bad defense in the outfield in that regard. But yeah, definitely a disappointing offensive season for Belt. Although the .345 on base percentage is something you'll absolutely live with. You just need a little bit more power out of that line in order to push yourself above league average. Because as it is, he's actually been below average offensively on the season, which is rough when you're a first baseman. But yeah, I do think it's reasonable to expect him to pick it up, because this is nowhere near where he's performed in his career, especially in the power department. I don't know what happened, but last year it was actually kind of the same. He didn't hit for a lot of power, just a 160 ISO last season, and it's 152 this season. So it's actually just about the same. But the projections are all for improvement. He's got, from Zips, Steamer, and the Bat, 3 projection systems featured on Fangraphs, they all have him as a solidly above average player. I mean, Zips is down on him a little bit, but the other ones have him about 15% above average offensively. And really just by picking it up with a little bit more power. He's actually striking out less than league average, which is interesting. Best strikeout rate of his career, but just homering on 8.5% of his fly balls in this crazy high home run environment. So it's a very strange year for Belt. I don't have a problem at all with him just continuing to lead off, because he does draw so many walks. That's kind of what you want out of that first spot in the order. And the power threat is there. We just haven't really seen it on the season, but we do know with Belt, he's capable of going off at any time. At the same time, he's 31 years old. He's signed through 2021. I wouldn't be shocked at all if at some point they try to move out from underneath that contract, but I don't know that they have someone to immediately plug in and get the same kind of production we should expect from Belt. So until that happens, I don't think there's any reason to move on from him. And no, I don't think Posey moving to first is a good idea at all, because Posey's offense has really fallen off a cliff as well. And you just can't live with that kind of offense at first base. Plus, Posey brings so much value behind the plate defensively that it just makes sense to keep him there as long as possible. And then a lot of people always want to talk about Posey's numbers as a first baseman, but that's totally skewed and flawed data because he typically in his career has only played first base when there's been lefty starters on the mound and they use it as an opportunity to rest Belt and put Posey at first. And so it's essentially looking at platoon splits. When you look at Posey's numbers as a first baseman, you're pretty much looking at Posey's numbers versus lefties. So it's not, he's not doing better because he's playing first. He's doing better because he's facing lefties. And plus, those are old numbers. If we're talking about Posey's career, I mean, that's just looking too far into the past. That's why we generally look at the last three calendar years. So I'm sure his numbers as a first baseman in the last three calendar years, while irrelevant because it's about lefties, not a position, still the numbers would be much lower. So I do think they're eventually going to obviously need to find a solution at first base. I don't think Belt is necessarily part of the next really good Giants team, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if they do try to move him. First base is a position you can fill in free agency, generally not that much difficulty. Lastly, Cameron Armstrong asks, what players in our minor league system do you think are expendable and could be used as trade pieces? So this is an interesting one because I was just looking at the Giants' 40-man roster and how it has really transformed under Farhan Zaidi. A couple more pickups in just the last few days with Kyle Bearclaw. I'm not sure we actually talked about that, but I like that pickup of Bearclaw, formerly dominant reliever with the Marlins, but then has struggled recently. A low-risk, high-reward player added to the 40-man roster, as well as Birch Smith, who's just another interesting guy added to the 40-man roster. So the 40-man and the 25-man look so different than they did when Farhan Zaidi took over, and even at the beginning of the season. And then looking through that 40-man roster, there are still some players that I see as expendable, kind of leftovers from the old regime. And those guys are Aramis Garcia and Chris Shaw specifically. Shaw has potentially as extreme, enormous power, but is not a good defensive player, nor is he a good runner. So I just don't think he really fits the new baseball mold and what Farhan Zaidi will be looking for. Just not really seeing numbers that stand out too much in this crazy Pacific Coast League. He's only been 15% above average there, striking out 27% of the time and only walking 6% of the time. So I think we may get a look at him in September, potentially. But I also think he's probably expendable, and he is a leftover, like I said, of the former front office. And Farhan Zaidi hasn't really shown an affinity for too many of those players. Somebody would be interested in Chris Shaw. He's got enormous power, potentially a DH type of player. But I'm not sure he's ever going to have a real position on the Giants. And in Aramis Garcia, I think there are similar concerns. He strikes out over 30% of the time in the minors. He's been below average offensively in AAA. They've accumulated a lot of catching depth, and I think they really like what they have in Vogt right now. And Joey Bart is coming, so he's another guy. He's 26, going to be 27 in January. I just don't think he has much of a future with the Giants, so strikes me as another player who could be expendable. That is all the time we have for today. Coming up tonight, the Giants will play the Oakland A's in Game 1 of a little two-game home series. Then they head out on the road for 4 in Arizona, off day, and then 3 in Chicago, followed by another off day. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. To get the show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants. In a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Kasbick. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.